Good morning. What a joy it is to worship with everyone here today. We're thankful for the guests that are in our number as well. Always good to see fresh faces. I'd like to ask everyone to take out a Bible and follow along, please. We use the Bible as our only guide, and so if there's ever any questions about anything that's said, if you think anything that is said or done by me or by anyone is out of line with God's Word, we would appreciate it if you brought that to our attention, and we can look at God's Word openly to see what the truth is. Last month, we began our theme for the year of being devoted. And we looked at 1 Kings chapter 8, and we brought that idea specifically from verse 61. It says, "Your hearts, therefore, shall be wholly devoted to the Lord our God." And so your devotion, first and foremost, is to God, right? But out of that devotion to God, we should also be devoted to prayer. We should be devoted to one another. And we should be devoted to our purpose, the purpose that God has given each of us as children of His. And so as we begin to kind of cycle through these objects of our devotion, today we're looking at being devoted to prayer. In Colossians 4 and verse 2, Colossians 4 and verse 2 in the New American Standard says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." And so just think for a minute about your prayer life. How would you describe your prayer life currently? Can you say you are devoted to prayer as you should be, or as you would like to be even? Are you satisfied with the quality of your prayers? When I suggest we need to be devoted to prayer, I'm not just saying we need to spend more time in prayer, right? Now, maybe you do. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be spending more time in prayer. You personally might need to spend much more time in prayer. But the idea of being devoted to prayer is not just about a certain number of prayers that need to be offered every day or a certain amount of minutes that need to be spent in prayer every day. Being devoted to prayer is much more than just that. You ever had a job that you've not been very devoted to, right? A job that you spent 40 or more hours a week at, perhaps. It's possible to spend a lot of time engaged in something without really being devoted to it, isn't it? And if you've had a job like that, then you know what I'm talking about. You can give a lot of time to something without having your heart in it. So, again, with prayer, yeah, there is some time we need to be spending in prayer, but time alone is not the measure of devotion by any means. It's about engaging in our relationship with God. We need to be praying with passion, going to Him, looking forward to the moments where we are spending time in prayer with God, learning to rely on prayer. Being devoted to prayer is about understanding the importance and the significance that prayer plays in the life of a Christian, in helping you find the peace of God which surpasses understanding. You can't find that peace of God without spending time devoted to prayer. And so our aim then is to improve the quality of our prayer life. Quantity might be an aspect, but most importantly, we're looking at improving the quality of our prayer life. Today, we're focusing specifically on being thankful in prayer. On being thankful in prayer. Colossians 4:2 again, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." And you see this idea of prayer with thanksgiving coupled together several times in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." So gratitude needs to be not only expressed in our prayers, it just generally needs to shape our prayers. It should affect the entire complexion of our prayers when we go to God with a heart of thanksgiving. A thankful heart needs to affect the way we offer praise to God and adoration to Him. It needs to affect the way we make requests when we go to God in supplication to Him, right? Even when we confess our sins before God. That should be done out of a grateful heart, knowing that He is able and willing to forgive us of our sins. And then that appreciation that needs to characterize our prayer life, it's not limited just to prayers, right? We need to carry that gratitude with us after we say amen. And after we get up off our knees or lift our head up or whatever, you know, however we are approaching him in prayer, we need to take that gratitude with us into the rest of our life. And so with that, we're looking at how to improve our prayer life by being thankful in prayer. We're going to start by acknowledging a basic problem, and that's discontentment. Discontentment is going to have a very negative impact on our prayer life. We live in a society in which the average citizen enjoys comfort and convenience, the likes of which royalty in other times would be jealous of. Right? We realize that, don't we? That we are living better than most kings and queens have in many, many ways right now. We have more things and stuff than we know what to do. They just finished putting in another storage facility across the street that way. I look at my window and see two separate storage facilities, and there's another like half a dozen within a half mile because we literally have more stuff than we know what to do with. And so we just put it in a holding facility for months on end without ever looking at it, right? We have technology that helps us accomplish daily tasks in a fraction of the time than our grandparents and great-grandparents. We have more entertainment at our fingertips than we know what to do with. Again, literally too much for a single person to consume in a lifetime. And not to mention, besides those material things, we have more emphasis on emotional health, on mental health. You see commercials, you see athletes and celebrities speaking out about the importance of mental health. A much greater emphasis on mental health today in 2023 than we've ever had in generations past. And yet, with all that going on for us, we see skyrocketing depression. We see people that just live meaningless lives and looking for meaning in any way possible. What's the deal with that? Why is there so much unhappiness and discontent around us when we have so much to be thankful for? I think the deal is people are looking for contentment in all the wrong places, right? We see it all around us, and we can get sucked into that, where we are looking for contentment in things that do not have the power to give us contentment. And so because we are so discontent, because we look for contentment in the wrong places, and we find discontentment, that leads to complaining. It leads to complaining. Something Philippians 2 says we ought not do. If you look back in James 3, where Michael was reading for us just a few moments ago, I could read a whole lot more about this. It's about the tongue, but it's really about the heart. And we'll see that connection later, that the heart and the tongue are connected, right? And so let's just go back through here, and I'm going to just read it again, thinking about it from this perspective of being thankful in prayer. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, James 3 and verse 8, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father. I'll add, with it, we pray. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Your tongue and your words, James says, are full of deadly poison. Right? The problem with complaining is it poisons the well. It poisons the well. The well of your heart, so that when you go to give thanks, your gratitude is contaminated. If you've just been complaining previously. A spring cannot give both fresh water and bitter. Our equivalent of a spring, of course, would be a faucet, right? You can't get good water and bad water from the same faucet. Because if just a little bit of that water is bad, it's going to contaminate all of it, right? You can't get both. And so in the same way, our complaining contaminates the well of our heart. Look over in the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, where Jesus puts it this way in verse 43 and 45. A good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. There's the connection, right, between our heart and our mouth, our heart and our tongue. A tree cannot bear two different kinds of fruit, Jesus says. What you produce from your mouth, blessing or cursing, good or evil, complaining or gratitude, whatever you produce from the mouth comes from your heart. And so if you want to be thankful in prayer, you have to start by filling your heart with gratitude. If you go through your day complaining all day long, complain about how you feel in the morning, complain about what you have to do at work, complain about the mess at home or the busyness of your schedule or whatever, and you go complaining all day long, and then you suddenly go to approach God in prayer, there's no flip that you can just switch. And all of a sudden, all that negativity just leaves your heart and you're filled with gratitude. It doesn't work that way. You've poisoned the well all day long. And now you're unable to go to God with an attitude of thanksgiving, as we're told in Colossians 4 and verse 2. Being thankful in prayer begins by just having a thankful heart in general. So if we want to improve our prayer life, if we want to improve our prayer life, this begins by improving our general attitude throughout the day. Even in those moments we're not in prayer. So much of our Christian walk is connected, right? These aren't just isolated buckets that don't affect or spill over into the other buckets. And so if we want to have a good prayer life, we have to root out that bitterness and discontentment in our hearts. So how do we do that? How do we do that? It starts with mindfulness. With mindfulness. You pay attention to the middle part of Colossians 4 and verse 2. It says, again, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. That idea of keeping alert in it is the idea of being awake, right? Keeping watch. You have to be aware and on the lookout. We're in control of our minds and we're very intentional with our thoughts all day long, being careful not to let our minds wander for too long. On a very basic level, mindfulness in relation to our prayer life, you just think of counting your blessings, right? You think of counting your blessings. Blessings are all around you if you just keep your eyes open for a few minutes. We have to be mindful of our blessings and also mindful of our attitude towards these. There's always a choice. There's always a choice to be had. I can complain about all the toys on the floor, or I can be grateful that I have a child to play with them, right? And grateful for the means to provide toys on the floor. And we could go on and on with that. I can complain about mowing the lawn, which I probably do a little too often, or I can be grateful that I have a yard to take care of, a yard to call my own. So mindfulness, yeah, it includes counting your blessings on kind of a fundamental level, but on a deeper level, it's the idea of practicing being more spiritually minded. We've looked at Colossians 4 and verse 2 a lot. If you go back just a chapter to Colossians 3, Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2 help us out with this. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So we've got to make the choice. This is a choice. That's all it is. To set our minds intentionally on heavenly things, on spiritual things, and not get bogged down in the concerns of this life. Not to dwell on the earthly issues more than we have to. We have to deal with earthly things from time to time, right? We've got to keep it all in a spiritual perspective and always be looking above, first and foremost. Paul demonstrates the power of this spiritual mindfulness over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Join me over there, please. 2 Corinthians 12, we'll read verses 7 through 10. Paul says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So Paul has some issue, right? some probably physical ailment of some kind. And look what he does about it. Verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. What did Paul do? He took that concern to God in prayer. But look at verse 9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul has this issue, some physical ailment again. He prays for God to remove it, and God tells him, no. No, I'm not going to remove it. My grace is sufficient for you, is Christ's answer to Paul. The Lord used his ailment to teach Paul a valuable lesson. Paul was being taught to rely on God's grace. He doesn't say it this way exactly, but I think it's safe to say Paul learned how to be thankful despite of his thorn in the flesh. Maybe even because of his thorn in the flesh, because of the lesson he was being taught by it. He was thankful for that. He wasn't thankful initially. He wasn't thankful when he was asking God to remove it, right? And that's okay. We don't have to be thankful for bad things and asking for God to remove them, but because Paul was as spiritually mindful of a man as you're going to find, he's able to move past any discontentment he may have had. And he was able to be thankful for the ways God was at work in his life. For the ability, the opportunity to learn to rely on God's grace. That's the power of setting your mind on things above. And again, maybe most importantly with this, don't forget the fact that what did Paul do first? He goes to God in prayer about it. He's devoted to prayer. That's devotion. Look at what he says over in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, very similar to Colossians 4 in verse 2 and 1 Thessalonians. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so first, here we have another one of these passages telling us to pray. And what do we notice right there with it? With thanksgiving. It's a very consistent message, isn't it? You pray with thanksgiving. In chapter 4 and verse 6 of Philippians, he's talking about being anxious. He's talking about our anxieties, our worries. The things that bother us in life. Maybe not physical ailments, but circumstances of life that have us stressed out. When you become aware of your anxieties, what do? You take it to God in prayer. You go to him in prayer. Let your request be made known to him. But you do it, again, even when you have anxieties, even when you're stressed out, you do it with thanksgiving, with an attitude of thanksgiving, as Colossians 4 and verse 2 says. Notice what can happen next. If you do this, if you trust in God's process here, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It doesn't say God's going to remove the thing causing you anxiety. It doesn't say God's going to remove the thorn in the flesh, right? God doesn't promise to take away the thing causing you anxiety. He doesn't promise to remove your thorn in the flesh. He promises you the offer of his peace. That's what he offers you. But if we go to God in an attitude that's not content with that, that's ungrateful for his peace, and determine I'm only going to be grateful if you remove this thing, well, you're going to him with an ungrateful attitude, and you're probably not going to find the peace that he's offering to you either. There's more to be said about mindfulness down in verses 8 and 9, thinking about things that are good and true and noble. The bottom line is, if you want to overcome discontentment, you've got to practice thinking more spiritually about things, setting your mind on things above. So from there, we have to look at a little bit of a warning about this thankful attitude and enjoying, not enjoying, avoiding immature gratitude. We have to be very careful to avoid developing a very immature gratitude. There's another sermon I've listened to a few different times over the last few years that suggests three levels of gratitude, and I'd like to kind of give my spin on here. So three levels of gratitude. An immature gratitude is thankful for things and stuff. That's level one. I'm thankful for things. That's good. But everybody's thankful for things, right? Young children are thankful for stuff. I happen to know a young boy who in his nightly prayers went through a stage where he would literally look around and be like, thank you for windows and thank you for the ceiling. And those are good things to be thankful for, but that's a pretty basic level of gratitude, right? That's as simple as you get. That's fine. Even adults should be thankful for ceilings and windows and things of that nature. But what happens when you go through a Job moment and you lose everything? Do you lose all your gratitude also? If you're stuck at level one, then yeah, you do. You're left being ungrateful for anything. One reason Job was able to maintain his faith was he had deeper gratitude, a more mature gratitude than just for his physical blessings. Job stored up treasures in heaven, right? Treasures in heaven. You know where that's found out? Back over in Matthew? Look in the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This, in a way, I don't think it's the exact intent here, but this is warning against immature gratitude. Matthew chapter 6, 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. For those with immature gratitude, level one, it's these earthly things that occupy the majority of their gratitude. This is what they're thankful for, is, you know, my cars and my house and, you know, these physical things. Be thankful for that, but don't limit your gratitude to that. Verses 20 and 21 go on to say, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I love this connection again between what you treasure and where your heart is. What you find value in is where your heart is. Remember, we talked about discontentment earlier, complaining earlier. What is it that people typically complain about? What is it you typically complain about? For me, I typically complain about the physical things, right? Complain about being sick or not having something I want or something that's breaking on me or not working right. That's what we often complain about is these physical, these earthly treasures. We complain we don't have the right things or the right circumstances. And the problem is all of these earthly treasures are going to let us down at some point anyway. It's all going to let us down. They're going to break. Something's going to go wrong. And so we can't put our heart there. Remember Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So if this is what we set our heart on, these earthly things, that's going to be expressed in my level of gratitude or ingratitude. If you're there in Matthew 6, go back a little bit earlier in the chapter where Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. We won't read through it, verses 9 through 13, Matthew 6, 9 through 13. But notice how much of that prayer is focused on physical circumstances. How many earthly treasures is Jesus instructing his disciples to pray for? Like verse 11, right? Give us this day our daily bread. That's it. That's the earthly treasure that Jesus is concerned about. Give me the food I need to survive. That's it. Jesus' model prayer teaches us to focus on the spiritual. Focus on the spiritual. That brings us to level two gratitude. Level two gratitude is thankful for things, but most importantly, we're thankful to God. We acknowledge that God is the giver of our blessings. This is what people of the world often leave out. pay attention to the news, radio, books, podcasts, whatever you occupy yourself with, you'll hear people of the world talk about gratitude all the time. It's a pretty popular topic out there. But they leave out God. It's all level one gratitude stuff. Oh, I'm so grateful for this. Okay, but why do you have this blessing? Because of God. We leave God out of the equation. We need to make sure our gratitude is directed to God. Practically speaking, this is where prayer comes in. God has blessed us enough, we could be thanking him all the time. We should be thanking him all the time. But he doesn't just bless us with material things, of course. He blesses us with spiritual things. Think of the hope he's blessed us with. Right, think of in a world filled with hate, God has shown us what love is, and he's given us his love. In a world of confusion, he's given us truth to rely on. In a world where our bodies are doomed to decay, he's given us hope of eternal life. That's the treasure in heaven that we have to be thankful for. If you're not sure about what treasures in heaven or spiritual blessings to be thankful for, I would encourage you first to go back and just read the first three chapters of Ephesians that was in our daily reading this week. Read the bulletin article that was emailed out yesterday. It's online if you want to find it there. And I go through, I just list some of these heavenly treasures, these spiritual blessings that you find just in a couple chapters in one book of the Bible. They're all over the place if you're mindful enough to see it. But you've got to be looking for it. And they're so much richer and better than the material blessings that we have. So level two gratitude is pretty good, directing our gratitude to God, but we can still do better. Level three is when you are moved to show appreciation and return kindness. It's that magical moment for parents that I hope happens one day when the kid after dinner is like, I appreciate dinner so much, let me do the dishes, right? They're wanting to show gratitude over, I see some looks between parents and children right now. Interesting dinner conversations tonight, right? You want to express gratitude by returning thanks in a tangible way to that person, doing something out of gratitude. Husbands and wives, it's going to work the same way. Whoever's preparing dinner at your house, right? We can express gratitude the same way. Thank you for dinner, honey. Let me clean up now. You go take a break. Spiritually, this is asking, what can I do for God? What does the fruit of my thankfulness look like? Go back, if you would, to Hebrews 12, a verse we looked at last week, Hebrews 12 and verse 28. It's a good place to start in returning thanks to God. Hebrews 12, 28 in the ESV says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. And so out of thankfulness to God for allowing us inside the gates of his kingdom that he's created, his eternal kingdom that Jesus bought with his own blood, we ought to be compelled out of gratitude to offer him acceptable worship. And of course, as we mentioned, this is not limited to just what we do when we're gathered on the first day. You recall Romans 12 and verse 1, out of thankfulness, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Out of gratitude, we ought to devote ourselves to God. And this level of gratitude needs to be brought into our prayer life, right? When you offer things to God, you think about how you can express appreciation to him, again, after you say amen. And you can even ask him for help. You can ask God in your prayers for help in demonstrating your gratitude to him. Ask him for help in presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. All right, so I hope this makes sense. I hope you agree so far and like, yeah, okay, I can consent to that. And that you see the need to return gratitude to God, right? But what happens if you're stuck? What happens if you're stuck? What happens if you're like, look, I'm trying to find contentment. I'm trying to not complain. I want to be more spiritually minded. But I'm not. I just don't feel that gratitude, you know? It's just a real struggle to get there. I'm not there yet, and I'm not sure how to get to this place. I'm not sure how to increase my gratitude. So what do? The answer is simple. It may be even maddeningly simple, but it works. But it requires work also. It's the cure if you're stuck, but it's also just the goal for all of us. And it's deeper faith. Again, it's simple. It's not anything too complex, and the Bible's not going to give us anything too complex to figure out here. But if we want to increase our gratitude, if we want to reach that level 3 gratitude that isn't just present in our prayer, but is carried over into my entire life, you have to deepen your faith. We've been in Colossians a lot. We started in 4. We looked at chapter 3. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 6 through 7. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. New American Standard says, overflowing with gratitude. You want to be overflowing with gratitude? You've got to be in Christ. You've got to be in Christ, right? You have to walk in Christ. Verse 7 says you have to be rooted and built up in him. You have to be established in the faith if you want to be overflowing with gratitude. Deeper faith is a catalyst for overflowing gratitude. If you go back to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, we looked at this chapter last month when we talked about knowing God, the excellence of knowing God that Paul writes about. Let's revisit some of those thoughts again. Paul sacrificed everything about his former lifestyle. Paul gave up more than most of us can probably imagine. Look at verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those things from my former life before I was in Christ? What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Counted it loss for Christ. Continue in verse 8, down through 11. It says, yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul gave up a lot, but he gained a relationship with Christ. And he says, it's more than worth it. It's far worth whatever price you have to pay, that I may know him, that I may be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Out of all the blessings we have to count, there is none greater than to know Jesus Christ. Not just know about him, not just know facts about him, but to know him, to be in a relationship with him, through his word and in prayer. You want to be overflowing with gratitude? You want deeper faith? You have to come to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. You have to come to know God through his word and writing his word on your heart. Hebrews 12:28 again says, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You want to be grateful for receiving a kingdom? Then you have to come to know the King. You have to know the King. what does prayer have to do with all this? Prayer is our means of connecting with God, right? It's our means of communicating with Him. Prayer helps direct our thankfulness to the giver of all good things. And it helps transfer that energy into returning kindness and showing appreciation. Thinking about what we can do for God. Because, again, when we consider all He's done for us, that He's made known to us the power of His resurrection, that we can attain to the resurrection, there's no end to the thankfulness that we should have. Go back over to 1 Thessalonians. We read this at the beginning. It's worth looking at here again at the end. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This passage is not a menu that we have the option to pick and choose from, right? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. I can't pick and choose one or two of those three and leave the other one or two out. Being devoted to prayer, praying without ceasing, being thankful in prayer, giving thanks in everything, it's more than just a habit. It's more than just, you know, I started keeping a prayer journal last year. It's more than just writing down what you're thankful for in your prayer journal. That might help. But it's more than just a practice or a habit. Being thankful in prayer is about a lifestyle. It's about a lifestyle. It's about cultivating a heart of gratitude that allows you to rejoice always. That's the result of overflowing gratitude. But if you leave out the prayer, or if you leave out the thanks, you can't have the joy. You don't get the rejoicing always unless you have the praying without ceasing and giving thanks and everything. You leave out the gratitude, you can't have the joy. So being thankful in prayer doesn't mean, again, that your gratitude ends by expressing appreciation in prayer. A heart of thankfulness comes away from prayer, comes away from the amen, leaving with just as much gratitude as you brought into it. In fact, maybe even more. Probably even more. Because when you express thanks in prayer, you're not emptying yourself of thanks. You're filling yourself up with thanks. You're filling yourself up with gratitude. And so a heart of gratitude ends a prayer with a renewed sense of devotion to God, devotion to the giver of all good things, and a renewed commitment to expressing that gratitude as you offer your life as a living sacrifice for Him. So I'll ask again, how is your prayer life? Are you devoted to prayer? Do you approach God in prayer, coming from a place where you are just overflowing with gratitude? I closed my Bible a little too early. One more passage, back in Colossians again. If you want to know the number one thing you can do to show God how much you appreciate Him, I'll show you. Colossians 2, we're going to start in verse 6 again, but we're going to go a little farther than we went last time. Colossians 2, beginning in verse 6, says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. In Him you were also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him. The best way to show your appreciation to God, by giving your life to him, by being baptized with him, having your sins washed away as you've been immersed in water, and rising to walk in newness of life, and continuing to walk with him from that moment on. If you need to begin that journey today, or if you need help getting back on that right path to continue walking with the Lord once more, we're here to help you. You are welcome to let one of our shepherds know, and you can talk with them after services, or you can let us know right now if you'd like as we stand and sing.